The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and he knows not how. Of its own accord the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed that, when it is sown in the ground, it is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of the plants, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke a word to them, and they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Excuse me. I think the two parables here about the kingdom are, well, the first one is fascinating. It's a little less well known than some of the others that we've heard, but the idea of the mystery of the kingdom of heaven as going forth in the world and growing and spreading in a way that we don't fully understand. And there's a kind of a, if you look at the history of the church, and I would include in this the history of Israel, there's a waxing and a waning that takes place. There's a pruning, the time of pruning, the time of growth, and we see this as the church grows and yet also at times is pruned back. And you know, we all know any of us who have raised rose bushes in time. There's a time for pruning, there's a time for growth, there's a time when it's flowering, time when it's winter and things are dormant. This is kind of the image that the Lord gives us for the church. There's a great mystery to the things of nature, maybe less so today than in those days, but why is the church struggling now, or has it been struggling for the last 30 or 40 years? Why are our numbers down? And we can make lots of explanations for this. And why does the church suddenly mysteriously grow in time? Why is there a period of, why have we seen the sudden reform that takes place? Where does this come from? And again, there's part of this is a mystery that we have to trust God, and we have to try to remember that we do our best to try to grow the church. The Lord sent us on this mission, didn't need to try to bring in disciples to try to encourage people to practice the faith. You know, maybe we've even had this experience with individuals that we've been trying to get them to come to church for years, and all of a sudden they just start coming. There's just that mystery. Some people we know who've been very, very faithful suddenly fall away from the practice of the faith, and we don't fully understand the picture. And again, part of this is just to say we don't understand all of this. There's a part of God's plan, there's a part of God's providence, and so on. My thought about evangelization is that, if I could give you two thoughts about evangelization, it is certainly required of us, and we are meant to be faithful when we evangelize. Whether we have an increase or not belongs to God to say. A number of months ago, went out and put flyers and different things on the door about our Bible study. Just announcing the Bible study on Wednesday night, and at that time the afternoon Bible study hadn't started yet. So I don't know if we got a big bumper crop of people from the neighborhood or not, but I just know this, that there are now about 25, sometimes even 30 people at Bible study on Wednesday night. We're faithful and God grants the increase. There's been other times where I used to, Thomas More, send people out two by two, and they would knock on doors and invite people to come to church. We didn't have a huge crop from that. But all I know is we were being faithful. See? And I could just go to sleep at night knowing that as a church we were being faithful to the Great Commission to go out, to announce, and to call. The first, I guess, teaching, if you will, on evangelization is that we're called to be faithful to this, and not necessarily successful, but faithful. Always calling, always summoning, always trying to bring people back. And again, the second thing I want to say to you about evangelization is that evangelization isn't just about going out and getting new people to come to church. Sometimes it's about evangelizing the people that are already in church. You know, an awful lot of people today are sacramentalized, but unevangelized. I don't know if that phrase makes sense to you. But in other words, they've gone through all the rituals, they've celebrated the sacraments, they even maybe go to church each Sunday and so on, but they've never really met Jesus Christ. They've never really heard the good news. It's never really, they just go through all these things are going on around them, but it's never really occurred to them that the Son of God died for them. And their heart hasn't been moved by this so that they can and really begin to turn to the Lord and really experience the power and the majesty of Jesus Christ at work in their life. They're sort of dull of mind to this. It's just not really on their radar. But yeah, they're nice people. They're coming to church and they're going through the sacraments and so on, but they've never really met Jesus Christ. And so the task of evangelization there is to once again bring people to this powerful awareness that the stuff we do all the time is true. It's real. It's changing my life. Wow. And suddenly they meet Jesus Christ, and suddenly they begin to, their mind comes alive, and suddenly they begin to understand the vision of the sacraments and the vision of what God's Word is saying, and all of a sudden, again, they're alive and alert, and they begin to make spiritual progress. And this is what it means to evangelize, I think, in the pews. So evangelization isn't just going out. It's going within. It's going in the community. It's bringing people alive. And many are in that condition right now, you know, in all of our churches. That they thank God they're there. They're good, faithful people, but they've never really met the Lord. And the task of me as a preacher, and all of us really as a community, is to bring them into a living, conscious contact with God, into a life-changing, transformative relationship with Jesus Christ. So that now all these things they just could do undone by going through the motions, they're now consciously aware of what the Lord is doing. Okay? Now, just to bring it into the room for a minute, I mean, part of what we're going to try during Lent is I think I've told you, and this may surprise you, this may have surprised you, the idea that I'm alarmed that our numbers of daily mass are so low, but I'm telling you, in most suburban areas where there's a neighborhood, and we have a big neighborhood here, there's sometimes 180 to 100 people at daily mass, you know, and here we have a very small number. So all I know is that God's asked me to be faithful to at least try to once again re-engage our own neighborhood. And not just about this mass, but again, we're doing the same thing about our Lenten practices, our Stations of the Cross, flyers going out. We're beginning to reach out to our neighbors, letting them know we're here. I can't tell you how many people I run into on Capitol Hill, you know, just as I'm walking at night. I walk every night around this neighborhood, which they've never heard of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian. Never heard of it. Oh, where's that? We have a work to do. We have a work to do. And we've got to engage our neighborhood. So we're doing this work with daily mass. We're going to try this experiment. We're going to try to open the front doors. And we're going to put up the big sign outside. And maybe you can get some of our commuters. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to put some flyers out on Sunday afternoon. That's going to take place. I got the evangelization core team and some men of the Holy Name Society. They're going to do that. And once again, just inviting people to get a little more serious in their walk with God, and maybe to grow daily mass numbers and to what would seem to be more a proper number in a residential area. And then also to once again continue to work within our pews. I presented a vision to the parish council and the parish staff that I have as a pastor for how to really begin to go about this. And I don't have time to develop with you this morning, but I just want you to know we're beginning to develop a vision for what I would call internal evangelization, to once again really bring people, to make them alive, alert, and aware of what is really taking place in this church every Sunday and how urgently essential it is for their life, you see. So there's a work to do, And all I know is, I don't know how successful it'll be. After Easter, we may be back in here with the same numbers. I don't know. But all I know is that God has asked us to be faithful and to try. There are more people that ought to be finding their way to the daily celebration of the Eucharist, I'm convinced, in a neighborhood like this. And it's our job. It's not even an option. Jesus gave this command. He said, therefore, go. Go. In the imperative. Eat. Say, go. Go. Go, therefore, unto all the nations. Ayunte. You know, go. Go. And teach, evangelize, preach, baptize, and so on. So, will we be successful? I don't know. But will we be faithful? We have to be. We have to be. So we'll give it a try and we'll see. So again, I would ask you just to continue to pray. This a second parable about the kingdom I don't have time to develop, but you notice the mustard seed. And again, small little things like this can bear enormous fruit. You just never know what God is going to do. You just never know how powerfully He may choose to work. In just the little things that we do, things that we hardly even notice we're doing, can bear enormous fruit. But just be aware, the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed. Or the kingdom of God is like the mystery of the fruitfulness of the earth. We don't really know how it all comes about and why some years are bumper crops and other years not. And why is there drought one year? Why is there abundant rain the next year? We don't know all of that. But we just know that we do what we do and God will grant the increase. Amen.